Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Dr. Jimmy Chung is a board-certified surgeon and renowned clinical thought leader. He is the chief medical officer with Advantis Health Partners. Welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a real honor to be invited.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, thank you. Well, personal life, I think it's really nothing more important than family. So I can tell you that I've been married 27 years. I have two great kids starting college soon. I like to ski, cycle, run. As you mentioned, I'm a general surgeon. I've been board certified for about 25 years. Last 12 years, I've been primarily in administration in supply chain, not a typical physician role. It's a little bit unusual for physicians to be involved in supply chain, but actually since COVID, it's become much more highlighted as an area that clinicians and physicians can take leadership on. You know, when I started 12 years ago, I always like to tell this funny story because I wanted to advance my career in to make a bigger impact in healthcare beyond just doing surgeries. And so I started looking for not your typical physician leadership job. And I found this one job that I applied for. It was something called director of medical products or something like that. And it, the job description, I didn't understand a word of it. And at the end though, it said requirements, physician MD with surgical background. And I said, well, I'm a surgeon. I think I'm qualified for this, but I don't know what the job is about. So I called the recruiter and said, can you tell me a little bit more about this job? Because I'm a surgeon, I'm interested, but I've never heard of this job before. And the recruiter said, oh, well, we were hoping you tell us because we never heard of it either. So this goes to tell you that what I decided to do was not something that a lot of physicians were doing at the time. A lot more physicians are getting involved in supply chain now, though, because we know it's so critical to how we utilize our resources and make sure that we conduct our care and provide services and provide surgeries with safety. So the thing that really drives me into doing what I do now is that, again, as I mentioned, I wanted to have a bigger impact in healthcare as a whole. And there's two burning, what I call burning platform issues that I think are critical. One is obviously patient safety and medical errors. More on that later. And the amount of waste that we create, and I don't mean just the physical waste, but also the waste in our resources, dollars, you know, over-treatment, under-treatment, poor coordination of care and so forth. That I think a few years ago, there was an article in JAMA that showed that we were wasting almost $1 trillion of our healthcare dollars every year. That's just about 25% of the healthcare dollars that we spend in this country goes to waste. Now, obviously, not all of that is supply chain related, but as a surgeon, I kind of feel like I'm in a unique position where I can help address a lot of the waste that occurs in operating rooms and in surgeries and surgical procedures and products that we use and the resources that we use. And even more now than ever, people are now starting to really pay attention to sustainability, environmental sustainability, how much impact healthcare has on the carbon footprint and so forth. And so You know, I think this is where supply chain really lands in terms of how it affects physicians and how it affects patients, patient care. It's really more than just about, you know, getting products into the hospitals, which is what, you know, supply chain used to be about. And now you have to be much more strategic about it and think about how do we not just take care of our patients, but about, you know, taking care of our communities and our planet.
Well, those are compelling reasons for physicians to be involved with supply chain for sure. So the old days, it was just you'd be performing a life-saving operation of some kind and just sort of be frustrated by a lack of something, or there's too much of something, or just not kind of the right type of something. Tell me about those problems that made people think we should have doctors involved with this.
Yeah, no, it's a great question, because, you know, back again, about 25 years ago when I started my career as a surgeon, a lot of it was exactly that. You know, surgeons would be in the operating room, and as far as we were concerned, supply chain meant that we put our hand out and someone handed us the device that we needed, or the instrument that we needed to use. And that to us was supply chain. Get us what we need. The problem with that approach is that we weren't using real data and evidence to know what was the best product to be using. Each surgeon had their own preference. And in fact, to this day, we still call those physician preference items, or PPIs. Now, PPI actually has a different meaning when you're a physician, but in the supply chain world, it stands for physician preference item. And most hospitals struggle with physician preference items because they're usually the most expensive product. It's almost impossible to connect the use of these, what we call physician preference items, to any kind of a outcome or quality of care. And so the only thing that that drives the decision for PPIs at a hospital is whether or not the physician wants it. And so if you've got 10 different surgeons doing the same procedure, but they're doing it 10 different ways with 10 different products, that's that many ways that an error could be made. That's that many ways that we have to find a way to get the product into the hospital. So instead of having one contract with one price, you have 10 contracts and 10 prices. And going back to the error, the medical errors, you know, in this country, medical error still causes maybe up to 400,000 deaths per year. That would be number three on the list of the CDC list of highest causes of death in the United States, right after cancer and heart disease. Now, while that number itself might be a little bit controversial, people, you know, argue about how it's actually counted and so forth. The fact is that there are a significant number, there is a significantly high number of errors being being committed at hospitals that patients suffer from. And if that level of error was happening in any other industry, we would not stand for it. You know, that level of error occurring, let's say, in the aviation industry, in the airline industry, you would be looking at, you know, somewhere around 400 airplane crashes every day. Now, we would obviously not stand for that. But yet in healthcare, we continue to, you know, accept it, struggle through it. And, you know, part of that is because we have so many different ways of taking care of our patients for the same diseases or doing the same procedures. And a lot of that has to do with our, what we call, again, physician preference. And so this is a topic that most doctors don't like to talk about, or they will fight back, push back on, because physicians are usually trained in medical schools and residencies to have that, to hold that individual patient-doctor relationship sacred. Nothing can get in the way of that relationship. And while that sounds very noble, if we're not doing it together, as a profession, and we're letting individuals decide amongst themselves what's best for their individual patient, we're not really doing favors for our community. In fact, there was another article about 10 years ago that it was a survey that asked physicians how often do they follow evidence-based clinical guidelines that are published. And less than half of the physicians surveyed said that they regularly follow clinical guidelines. And a lot of the arguments against these guidelines is that, well, in my experience, you know, I get better outcomes. And in my experience, you know, they don't work, or the guidelines are too inconvenient. They don't want to have to follow them, et cetera. Again, these are topics that most doctors don't want to talk about or bring to light. In fact, that survey itself asked.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
On the under $3 menu at McDonald's, a McChicken is $1.50. Because when you're craving a McChicken, you deserve a McChicken. And now that McChicken is just $1.50 with McValue.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Whether or not physicians or would be more likely to follow guidelines if their patients knew that they weren't. And there was a large amount, a number of physicians who said, yes, if my patients were watching me, then I would, yes, follow guidelines. Which, you know, again, that surprises me significantly because, you know, why is it that we know what the right thing to do is, and yet we're so individual in the way that we just make these decisions? And so, coming back to how that plays out in supply chain, again, if you have an opportunity to identify, if you have, let's say, 20 orthopedic surgeons at your hospital, and you can identify the top two or three who are producing the best patient outcomes, best quality, at the same time providing that care at the lowest cost, then why shouldn't we all try to do it that way, right? Why are we allowing physicians to be mavericks and do it their way because that's the way they were trained or that's the way they want to do it? Under the claim that it, the doctor-patient relationship is so sacred, and yet we're not really doing the right thing. And so in supply chain, we try to actually identify those opportunities where if we can, let's say, go from 20 different vendors for an implant, cardiac or orthopedic or any other surgical implant, down to maybe four or five that have been shown to be the most cost-effective and quality in terms of how they are being used by our own physicians, then we want to educate our physicians to say, hey, did you know that here's a way that you can improve your outcomes? Here's a way that we can improve value for our patients. Because, you know, the last thing you want, or I want as a patient, is if I ever needed to have surgery, I have to decide for myself, which surgeon do I need to choose? You know, because otherwise I might not get a good outcome, right? So if all physicians are doing the same thing at the highest quality, then as a patient, I know that it doesn't really matter who the surgeon happens to be, right? And you're going to get good outcomes and good care, so that shopping for quality shouldn't be a burden that the patients actually have to take on their shoulders.
That is so much fascinating stuff. I'm surprised to hear some of it, not surprised to hear other parts of it. It strikes me that it's a very unique problem in that, in a lot of ways, I would rather have my patient or my doctor do the procedure on me exactly how he or she wants to. But there's no way as an industry that that is scalable and or sustainable. So threading that needle really hard.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that if you ask individual patients, they're always going to say, well, my doctor is the best one. You know, I mean, there's the occasional patient who will complain, well, this, you know, surgeon botched my surgery and so forth. You know, as part of, as a side line that I've done, I was also on the Washington State Medical Commission looking at, you know, various complaints that have come forth against physicians and looking at opportunities for either disciplinary or educational opportunities for physicians. And a lot of times, you know, you have to identify where the physicians went wrong, and not necessarily to punish them, but to look at, well, you know, was there an opportunity here for educating that physician to do better, you know? And the thing is, nobody really knows. You know, there's no data out there, especially for the physician or the patient. Who should you go see? If you're going to have surgery and you want the best outcomes, who should you go see? There's no public record that says these physicians have the best outcomes. But most patients will think that their physician has the best outcomes, and yet we don't have that data. So the key to this problem is to have access to that data, to be able to look at quality and outcomes, while at the same time looking at the total cost of care. And a lot of physicians will say, well, you know, maybe my surgeries cost more because I have more complicated patients or I get better outcomes. All the work that I've done in the past 12 years in looking at that data will show you that there's absolutely no correlation. Sometimes actually the best, the surgeons who have the best outcomes also tend to be the most cost efficient. And so there's always a best practice that you can identify.
That doesn't surprise me either. So that's really interesting. All right. So your work is bridging the gap. You are. Tell me what you're doing.
So so that maybe a little bit more detail about supply chain itself. You know, the funny thing about healthcare supply chain, especially at the hospital level, is that for many years it's been called materials management. And, you know, the materials management manager was, you know, in the basement next to the morgue, literally, and their job was to open boxes and take products up to, you know, up to the floors to be used and manage inventory. But as I mentioned, over the last, I'd say, decade or so, hospitals have become much more strategic about that. It's starting to call it supply chain and also value-based supply chain or clinically integrated supply chain. There's a lot of terminology being used to address some of the issues that I was just talking about. And it's starting to align with the more and more with the clinical strategy, which is, you know, you want to be able to provide the best care, fewer errors, and standardized to best practice. And part of that is then identifying a vendor partner. So take a popular surgery, for example, like, you know, hip or knee surgeries where you have to purchase implants. Now, there's no data out there that says one company makes better implants than another. Now, there'll be preferences, but there's no data to say that. So in a way, that actually gives the local hospitals a lot more freedom to choose. But the better strategy is not to allow, let's say if there's 20 different vendors, not to allow all 20 vendors to come in, but to choose just, again, four or five vendors who will meet the majority of the clinical needs of your patients. And so by standardizing to that and working directly with those suppliers, then you can start looking at shared goals and partnerships that become stronger. You'll get better pricing, and you'll also get better clinical strategies for better outcomes for your patients. And so what we're trying to do at so Advantis Health Partners is essentially the supply chain division or department, if you will, of Mount Sinai Mercy Health, which is about a 48 hospital system. We've taken our supply chain strategy and capabilities to market our portfolio outside of Mount Sinai Mercy Health. And so we're simultaneously doing two things. One is we're making supply chain more cost-effective and strategic for Mount Sinai Mercy Health, but at the same time, trying to spread that that ability and pricing and capabilities to help other health systems get better supply chain into their hospitals. And so ultimately what we want to do is get to that point where we're allowing hospitals to get access at good prices to products and implants and services for their patients and hospitals in their hospitals, while at the same time giving them the opportunity to narrow their portfolio to, again, reduce unnecessary variation and reduce waste within their own hospitals by taking advantage of our contracts. So that's our current model. My role in that company, of course, is to continue to oversee the clinical decision-making process and make sure that we're always focused on what's best for our patients.
So you were able to implement the strategies that we've been talking about in the one hospital system of 40 some hospitals, demonstrate that you're reducing costs, keeping more patients alive. Things are going well. And you say, I bet we can add a lot of value by going to outside hospital systems, outside individual hospitals.
Yeah. I mean, I think the hard part is that obviously, we can only do this, one step at a time. And, even within our own organization, I would say that, there are challenges and we continue to, push our goals and make sure that we're doing what's best for our patients. And we have to have sometimes, even our own internal conversations on how best to do that. And so we're learning and we're taking our best practice externally. And, one thing that, we also mentioned again before was the new focus on sustainability. And that's become something that I think a lot of us have been able to rally around and, start measuring and making sure that we're making good decisions, not just for the patients, but for our planet.
Love it. Well, Dr. Jimmy Chung, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you and where can people learn more about Advantis?
So, our website is AdvantisHP.com. So that stands for Advantis, Advantus Health Partners. So that's HP.com. Or you can look for me on LinkedIn. I should be pretty easy to find, Jimmy Chung, MD. And I'd be happy to talk more about this or work with you directly.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jimmy your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to Advantus, H-P, AdvantusHP.com. You can find Dr. Jimmy Chung, MD, or MD, on LinkedIn. I will certainly link all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Jimmy.
Thank you. It's been a real privilege.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.